We're happy to welcome to Current State Mid-Michigan's best-known mother-daughter political duo. Barb Byram was elected Ingham County Clerk last November after serving 6 years as 67th District Democratic State Rep, and she held other civic positions before that, and she owns a hardware store business in Charlotte. Her mother, Diane Byram, currently serves on the Michigan State University Board of Trustees and previously served as State Rep, State Senator, Ingham County Commissioner, and Chancellor of the Exchequer, if I remember correctly. Happy to welcome Diane and Barb Byram to Current State.
Thank you so much.
How are you?
We're doing great.
Doing well.
This is the first time you've ever done anything like this together? Am I right about that?
I don't think we've ever done an appearance together.
Not on radio. Normally our appearances together are home around grandchildren at the dinner table.
Yeah. Well, it's more evidence the media has been asleep on the job. Pass up an opportunity like this. Barb, tell us about your first few months at your new job. What have you learned as Ingham County Clerk?
Well, serving as the county clerk has been a tremendous honor that I am able to serve in this capacity. I am amazed by the foot traffic that comes into the main Mason office as well as our Lansing branch office. You know, kindergarten roundups right around the corner, so a lot of parents are getting the birth certificates because schools do require a copy of a birth certificate. But most notably are the applications for concealed pistol licenses. They all come through the county clerk's office, and we're seeing easily 200-300 a month. And it's been a large volume. In addition to the marriage ceremonies that I've been doing, I've married, I think, 35 couples now.
Did your predecessor do that? Did Mike Bryanton marry people?
I think he did earlier in his term, but towards the end of the term, I'm given the impression that he was not as much.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the marriage ceremonies, the death certificates, DD-214s, we just are busy. And I'm looking forward to updating some of the technology in the office and having a more user-friendly website and that sort of thing. So,
but what have you learned? How has the job been different maybe than what you anticipated?
You know, I learned that our county clerk's office holds very serious records. And some of those records are private and some of those are public. And it is amazing how far back those records go with the marriage license, the death certificates, and the birth certificates. And it's amazing watching how those certificates have evolved over the years. It's just a fascinating office.
It's an interesting history lesson. Is
it
that what you're saying?
It certainly is.
And you get to work out of the county courthouse, which is a beautiful historical place, too, right? And you continue to help run a hardware store, raise some kids, raise a husband.
Yeah, raising the husband, yes.
Sell Mary Kay.
The whole nine yards. Yeah, the whole nine yards.
And Diane, if I'm not mistaken, it's already been over 3 years for you on the MSU Board of Trustees.
That's correct.
09, mm-hmm. Right? Same question. What's your couple of top priorities? Barb got into her, what's at the top?
Right.
As county clerk, what are your couple of top priorities as an MSU trustee?
Well, I care passionately about students and making sure that they have a robust experience during their career at Michigan State University. Some areas that I'm particularly interested in would be agriculture, the College of Agriculture. That's my alma mater. And, you know, we've struggled with a dean replacement for Dean Armstrong. We now have Dean Poston in place. So seeing that college build out and be robust again is something that I'm very interested and passionate about.
A personal background with that then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And with you, Barb, right? Yeah. I mean, agribusiness degree from Michigan State,
right,
if I'm
yes.
not mistaken.
Yep.
Yeah.
And my degree was eliminated. I was a public affairs management degree, Ag Econ, and that kind of went away.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the first graduating class, and then I was a trustee when the major was eliminated.
I can relate to that because I started out as a television and radio major at Michigan State, and that went by the wayside a long time ago.
Right.
What do you, Diane, what do you personally anticipate regarding state funding? Will it be going up again? And if so, when?
We have had more than a decade of flat or a cut in state support for higher education. Even 3 years ago, it was a hard 15% cut. And it's been difficult in lean times at the university, and I think you can see that reflected not only in the cost of tuition, because there is a direct correlation between state appropriation and tuition costs, and just some of the fee structures. So Michigan State has had to become quite lean by still having a good value for students, because our students are middle-class kids, and they're middle-class kids from Michigan. So I hope that we have a future where we have increased state support through funding for higher education. It looks like this year it's going to be an increase, you know, 1-2%.
Right.
Clearly not inflation, but at least it's not a negative number. So I'm just hoping, because Michigan's future is connected to the educational level of our citizens. And a democracy thrives when you have solid, educated citizens, and the economy thrives when you have an educated citizenry. And higher education plays a role in that.
We're talking with Diane and Barb Byram here on Current State. This is interesting, though. You don't want to wish Republicans too much success, but by the same token, if Michigan continues to rebound, doesn't that stand to improve the funding picture for Michigan State University?
Well, I would hope, as the state budget coffers have more money in them, that some of that will go into higher education.
Okay. Barb, a couple of days ago, you opined in the Free Press against Secretary of State Ruth Johnson's apparent support of a revised Electoral College framework here in Michigan. Ms. Johnson advocates moving away from the state's winner-take-all model and toward a hybrid approach of assigning the state's 16 electoral votes. This combined approach, which is being batted around in the legislature, we don't have a final plan yet, but this combined approach would presumably include the popular vote, but would also assign votes according to vote tallies in individual congressional districts. You have real concerns about this plan. How do you think this will take shape?
Yeah, I have major concerns about this plan. In fact, when this when similar legislation was introduced last term by Representative Lund, I opposed it then. I've authored a couple op-eds, the most notably Free Press op-ed that I authored earlier this week. Because what this is, I mean, as our chief elections officer, the Secretary of State should not, she should be ashamed of herself for supporting such a partisan election rigging scheme.
Explain to our listeners how exactly this boils down to being so partisan, in your view.
In my view, so it's so partisan because although the state has gone for the Democratic presidential nominee for the past 8 election cycles, I believe it is, the Republicans are very upset about that, and therefore they're changing the equation and changing the way we do our electoral votes in our state to then go for the Republican nominee. If you look at the congressional districts and how they were drawn, and you look at because they were drawn by the Republicans with gerrymandering, quite frankly, then it would lead one to conclude that the Republican nominee would get the electoral votes from the state of Michigan. This is changing the game in the middle, changing the rules in the middle of the game. And there is no place for election rigging in our state. Quite frankly, it's my job to protect the democratic process in our elections as a county clerk. And I am going to continue to let people know about this new election rigging scheme that is out there in hopes that the veil will be shed and people will see what this truly is.
This does get back to the fact that the Republicans did so well in 2011, and we had a new census to work with. So they had a majority of people at the table to redraw these districts. How is the public to make sense of this district drawing dynamic that goes on every 10 years?
The redistricting process in our state needs a very serious attention, because quite frankly, it is drawn by whichever party is in power.
Right.
Which has, you know, was the Republicans last year and was the Republicans 10 years ago.
And every time a new census comes out, it's time to do it all over again. So whoever is in power really has an advantage.
Right. We need a nonpartisan approach at drawing our districts.
I think this reapportionment question and reapportionment reform is the single most important issue facing our state. It's that serious.
Really?
And it should be done in a way that does not advantage one political party over the other. Michigan is a very competitive state. We're not really a red state or a blue state. And if you have competitive elections, you are going to get the best candidates with the best ideas, and they're going to represent the majority of the people. What you have now, because of the extreme gerrymandering that has gone on, is that you have a very small minority of individuals that participate in a Republican primary election controlling the political agenda of Michigan. And it is that simple. And when you get a minority of a subgroup controlling what goes on in the laws that are passed in this state, that's dangerous for democracy with a small d.
In realistic political terms, does a plan like this have legs to make it all the way to the governor and be signed into law?
Yes, it does.
You think so?
You have one party controlling the legislative process, the executive branch, and the courts.
But what about Governor Snyder, though? Do you think he's a slam dunk supporter of this? After the brouhaha of right to work, this strikes me as potentially something that he may not get behind.
I think,
and Senator Richardville as well.
I would hope that would be the case, but I would not hang all my hopes on that, because I have seen Governor Snyder take some positions that, frankly, I was amazed at.
Mm-hmm.
And because he now is running for re-election. And although he ran as a non-politician, somebody from the business sector, once he got into office and made the decision that he was running for re-election, he became a political person.
Yeah.
And he has made decisions based on, am I going to have a primary? How can I solidify my reelection? And once you start making decisions based on politics, he really left that world from where he started from. So I think it's very possible that he could embrace this.
Does this support by Secretary Johnson lead either of you to consider a run for Secretary of State?
Well, I'm focused on the Ingham County Clerk's office. I have a few elections coming up just this year still, and I'm focused on making sure those elections are run as smoothly as possible and maintaining the records of Ingham County.
Okay.
I can say, first of all, as a mother, I'm very proud of Barb stepping up and speaking out and lending her voice so that there's a public debate on this, because it seems to really be pretty silent from the Democratic side of the aisle. Me personally, I love being a trustee, and I love the private sector and being a grandma, so I'm not running for anything.
Last May, around 130,000 electronic records from the county clerk's office vanished due to what then County Commissioner Mark Grebner referred to as, quote, an impressive series of screw-ups. Techs removed a server thought to contain expired data. Many files needed by your predecessor, Mike Bryanton, were indeed active files. We then learned a backup duplication system failed. Some expensive corrections were made. Barb, where does the e-data situation stand right now?
So we have the physical files. The physical documents. I have been going through and doing quite a bit of quality checks, and I'm not satisfied with certain portions of some records.
We want to make clear, too, that you always had the physical files.
Yes. Okay. Oh, absolutely. I don't we always had the physical
the
files.
The e-files vanished, but the physical files were always there.
Right.
But it created all kinds of
chaos. Prior to the third party scanning them back into the system, a parent or guardian would come in for a birth certificate and perhaps have to wait days as opposed to minutes, which is now the case. Now you're back to minutes. But the third party that scanned in some of those records, some of the records are they were scanned in poorly. Some documents were not brought back in electronically. So we're doing quality checks, and we have worked with a third-party vendor. We're going to be getting some other records scanned back in because the quality was certainly not satisfactory. And then I'm also keeping the new IT director, MIS director, very close because I am charged with maintaining all of those records.
Who is that?
That is Mr. Ashton, and I am keeping him very close. We met yesterday. We're meeting at least bi-weekly.
First name?
Mike.
Mike Ashton.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
I always call him Mister, so I think it's Mike. Yeah. So I keep him very close, and we're going to be doing a trial of our backup system, because one of the issues with the backup was that they were using tape backups, which we haven't used tape backups in years.
Yeah.
So we are doing quality checks and making sure that something like this does not happen again.
How much did this end up costing? Is that clear?
That is not clear. That was paid for out of last year's budget, and I think a lot of it was absorbed by the MIS department.
Okay. But was that an unbudgeted cost? That was above and beyond what had already been budgeted for last year.
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay. Overall, what kind of shape was the clerk's office in when you moved in?
You know, anytime you take over a new office, there are certain changes you want to make. And with the election side, we have made quite a bit of changes just to be more forthcoming with information, utilizing technology. We had an election in East Lansing Public Schools. I'm not satisfied with our website as it is currently, so I was tweeting out and posting on Facebook election results so that people could have them quickly. There are changes that need to be had, but a lot of those changes cost money. So I am trying to figure out how, within my budget, I may update the website, or quite honestly, completely overhaul the website and make it more user-friendly, so that truly people can go to this website and request true electronic requests of records. Because right now, it's not a true electronic request. It's printing a document off a website to fax it or scan it back in and email it. I want to offer true electronic communications to the citizens of Ingham County.
I happen to know a few reporters who would not quarrel with an updated website when it comes to election results on election night,
right.
too,
yes.
to tell
yes.
you the truth. Your party has a new leader here in Michigan, Lon Johnson. Diane, was it time for a new person at the top?
I was a Mark Brewer supporter.
Okay.
And I continue to think extremely favorably and very high of Mark Brewer, who gave a lot of years to the party. So I was not a Lon Johnson supporter at the convention, but I do accept that Lon Johnson is our party chair, and I am committed to work with him to make sure that we have a strong state party and that we elect Democrats up and down our ticket.
How should we interpret the other voices in your party who insisted it was time for a change? How should we process that?
Well, the party will move on, and I think we'll move on. I don't think it's going to be anything that is going to be long lasting and handicap the party. I was hoping that we would come up with some sort of a hybrid, and that we could have Lon Johnson have the public role, but we could continue to have the talents of Mark Brewer, because he is a very talented individual who's given his life and his entire career to the state Democratic Party. That didn't happen, so we'll move on, we'll regroup. It's not going to be that we're going to pick up our toys and go home. We're all going to join forces, and we're going to regroup and work with a new party chair.
We're talking with Diane and Barb Byram here on Current State on WKAR. A few weeks ago, the Free Press's Brian Dickerson wrote, a real leadership void confronting Democrats as they anticipate the 2014 election. Is there a leadership challenge for your party, Barb?
You know, I look forward to watching this all unfold. We have some amazing candidates who have been spoken of and those that haven't been spoken of yet. And I look forward to seeing who is asked to run for these higher offices, and I look forward to supporting them.
Diane?
Since I spent my time in the Michigan legislature, when I walked out of there, I had a real commitment to make sure that I did everything I could do to nurture and help grow the next generation of elected officials on the Democratic side of the aisle and build state party. So I've spent a lot of my time doing that, and I do think we're in a transition as a party. We will have a ticket. and we will have a strong U.S. Senate candidate, and we will have gubernatorial candidates, statewide offices, and then House and Senate candidates. I think we're still figuring out who those individuals are going to be, and at this point in time, I don't want to tip my hand as to where my preferences are, but we will have a ticket, and I think Democrats will be very competitive because we will give a clear alternative to the Republicans who are currently in charge today, and it's going to be economic issues about the Republicans do not represent the middle class citizens of Michigan, whether it's on education, it's on tax laws and you know, the corporate taxes versus individual taxes, on the environment. They don't represent where Michigan's electorate is today.
We had Congressman Gary Peters on the show the week before last. His name is probably mentioned more often to replace Carl Levin in the Senate. Do you like Gary Peters?
I like Gary Peters a lot. I served with Gary Peters for 8 years in the state Senate, and so we sat by each other for 8 years, and I've seen Gary work.
Is he on your short list?
He would be on my short list, absolutely.
Okay. Obviously, a lot may hinge on the candidate, but how much overall effort do you think it will take a Democrat, take for a Democrat to oust Rick Snyder next year? How vulnerable is he, and how strong of a candidate do you think you need to find?
I think Snyder is vulnerable to the extent, as I said, I believe that they're out of step with the majority of Michigan's voting citizenry. Mm-hmm. And I do think that Democrats can present a clear alternative. Now, Rick Snyder is going to have the baggage of what's going on in the Michigan legislature. They will not expand Medicaid. That's, or at least currently, that's going to have a major impact on the health care sector of this state through economic impact and jobs.
We're just about out of time. I have to ask you about Mayor Virge Brunero. Would he be on your short list?
I like Verge, but I think Verge said it best that he's going to be mayor of Lansing, and that's where his focus is, and I would support that.
Is it important not to go with Verge because of his loss 3 years ago? I mean, is it important to get a different person at the top of the ballot?
I think we will have a different person at the top of the ballot, and I think Verge will be supportive of whoever that person is.
Okay. Been a real pleasure to have both of you. It's just flown. Barb Byram is the clerk of Ingham County. Diane Byram is an MSU trustee. We'll have you back, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.